The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.
Check this. It's Monday evening. It's time for the DL Debate with me, Brendan Devaney. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or via podcast on highlandradio.com, Spotify or iTunes, day or night. It is time for the Gadget. We have a packed show in store featuring the likes of Charlie Vernon, former Armagh star, who was on duty with our own Damien O'Donnell and Rory McGiltica at the weekend. We hear from Armagh manager Kieran McGeaney, Donegal selector Paul McGonigal, and top sports writer Declan Bogue will be on the line to wrap up the weekend's action. Our hurlers, of course, had the weekend off. They play Derry next week away. Our ladies, of course, had another outstanding victory after last week beating Westmeath. Mayo rolled into town and they rolled out again without any points. And with a big changeover in personnel for Maxi Curran's squad, it's been a brilliant start to this season. You know, Mayo with one of the top sides in the country. Donegal were a point behind at half time, but in the second half, they came out and outscored Mayo 1-5 to 4 points. Captain Niamh McLaughlin's 50 minute spot kick, the big score in the game, and they finished up 1-11 to 11 points. A brilliant start from them, very encouraging. They play Galway away next Saturday evening. And we turn our attentions, of course, now to the big game in the Athletic Grounds. You know, with Donegal going up to this match, relegation was a possibility, but also a semi-final was a possibility. And Tyrone, Armagh and Monaghan were in exactly the same boat. Such a tight season it was in terms of three games in the league and just the four teams in the Northern Regional League. As it stands, both games ended up in a draw, and it's Donegal and Tyrone that went through the semi-finals, with Monaghan and Armagh facing the relegation playoffs. Now, after the game, I caught up with Charlie Vernon, former Armagh star, but before this, the one and only geezer, Kieran McGeaney, shared his thoughts with me after the game. I'm here with a man that I used to try and avoid back in the day, and it's me that's chasing after him this evening. It's Armagh legend and current team boss, Kieran McGeaney. How are you this evening?
Yeah, okay. It was, we probably felt we lost a wee bit there in the clutch. Like, both teams, I suppose, decimated with injuries, but it was a hell of a game. It was just like, end-to-end sort of stuff. But, probably Donegal's a wee bit know how to win the game, like, sort of played out in the end. Like, put a wee bit of a high press on us in the last quarter and pulled three shots off or kickouts. And, we missed, hit the post, hand passed ourselves. A couple of wee mistakes coming up, like, into the game, like, that we should have been better at. But, listen, as you know, that's what happens when you join the boys, with the big boys, and you make mistakes, you get punished. Like, so, good looking the fact that, we probably had very few of our defence starting, we give a decent account of ourselves, but I still think there's more in us.
Yeah, talk about joining the big boys, and I know your defender's missing tonight, Kieran, but defensively, I thought you were brilliantly set up in that first half. You were on another physical level, the Donegal, and when it was 5-1 up, Donegal were just walking into your tackles, yous were breaking. In many ways, you reminded me of Donegal back in the McGuinness time. You were sucking in the team, hitting them on the counter-attack, and you really went at Donegal all over the pitch.
Yeah, just probably, I would have felt maybe in the second quarter, when it was there to go, even in the we had a couple of one on ones inside, and we tried to put it long on top instead of to the sides when we had those chances. But again, they're small things that I think we can sort of look at and change. But it was disappointing not to get the 2 points today. We would have felt we would like to get to the semis.
Yeah, in 65 minutes, I think it was, when Kelly got that goal, Stephen Campbell set him up, 4 point cushion. You had that cushion constantly in the game. Donegal kept working hard to get back. That goal seemed like yes, and then the team naturally was going to sit deep, thinking we'll get a point if they get two, we'll see the game out. They made all that extra time, and at the end, I suppose anybody could have won it.
Yeah, just wee things, in the middle, we had the example of the advantage. One went for Donegal, one went against ourselves. But I thought the advantage rule had gone. And that's nothing to do with the referee making the decision. But again, those wee small things, at key points, cost you, because just chatting to the player in there, he felt just take a pot shot because you had the advantage, and it's not pulled back.
From Donegal's perspective, we've had the Cavan game that was here, hanging over the team for so long. You obviously had the Donegal performance hanging over them. Now, we got rid of that when we played Tyrone, whereas you knew this was still going to be coming up. I mean, in many ways, that's the real Armagh team, the team that's been coming. You've been out of the top flight for 9 years. You've come in and you've mixed it. You know, in every game, you've had the opportunity to win it. You won one, you know, tonight you drew. You were in a good position against Tyrone. So certainly going into this relegation playoff, from what I've seen from the Southern teams, if you line up like that tonight and probably just have that wee bit more ambition when you're controlling the game, you know, I think you have a good chance of staying in the division.
Yeah, but I think that's the line everybody has. Like, you know, it's very hard to tell a player on the pitch, like, you know, when you see the gap, take it. You know, and it's, as you know yourself, like, it's, you need a wee bit of courage when you're sort of playing, and like, you're trying to give fellas that, like, wee bit of freedom. Like, you know, you, to me, like, you give them structure and you give them principles, but you don't tell them how to play. You know, and you try to like encourage them to take. Like, we have some, I think we have some fabulous players, like most counties. Like, and I still think they're playing within themselves. But like, hopefully now, like, we've had a good sort of boost this year. 2-3 Cairns coming in, like, Jim and Paddy and John over the last number of years have been brilliant. Like, we've dragged them up from the third division, but it's about staying up here, because as you know, like, you only really learn in the trenches.
Yes.
No matter what anybody tells you or how many videos you look at, you only learn to me in the green grass. Like, the hard hits, taking the shots when it counts, like, having the courage to make the blocks, you know, taking a chance, all of those sorts of things. And like, we're getting there, but I still think there's more in us. And like, I would agree, like, you know, like, whether you call it ambition, like, you know, play what you see, look for the gaps, all of those lines are the same thing. Like, you know, courage is a funny thing. Like, I used to laugh at people talking about, like, some boys were courage, like, because, you know, they're going and hit somebody. But to me, like, the biggest sort of courage is seeing the gap and taking it.
Yeah, well, if there's one man you would have wanted by your side in the trenches, it was Kieran McGinney. Thanks for joining us and your views for the DL debate, and I wish you all the best in the season ahead.
Cheers, Brendan, thanks very much.
I'm here with former Armagh star Charlie Vernon. Charlie, once again, the football has been, you know, unbelievable this year, and it didn't disappoint again tonight. Trying to catch my breath and work out what has happened in the league from an Armagh perspective, from a commanding position, you'd be disappointed not to have won this game this evening.
Yeah, it was a very exciting game, you know, with a very, very strong performance again from Armagh. I suppose, you know, a hard luck story again type of thing. They'll be very, very disappointed in terms of not getting guaranteed sort of Division 1 football next year out of that game, because they did play very well. They had a lot of chances at the end, were just that bit of composure that they just didn't have at the key moments. And I suppose that's the reason you want to be in, you know, Division 1, that you have that chance to learn from that. You know, you have to hand it to Donegal. Like, there are a lot of men out tonight. Neil McGee was away. Murphy, obviously. You know, even Jamie Brennan. You know, they're big misses for good sides, you know. But the boys that came in, yes, it didn't go all their way, but they were able to eke out the result. They were able to keep the scoreboard ticking when they're under pressure. And, you know, that's impressive, you know, from an Armagh point of view, looking at that, and they can sort of learn from that, nearly.
And do you think, just looking at the setup of Armagh, I couldn't believe how defensively well they were set up. And people are saying that has been their Achilles heel the last few years. In the previous two games to this, did they set up like that? Because Donegal were really struggling. I mean, it was 5-1 in the first 20 minutes of the game, and Donegal didn't look like they were able to get through this blanket that they had. They had two blocks of players across. Physically, they were very strong, and Donegal at that point were really struggling.
Yeah, they seemed to change it up sort of in the middle of the game. Sort of, I could see them, sometimes they were leaving 3 and 4 up, other times they were putting nearly everybody back. So they were kind of mixing up a wee bit. They definitely, you know, were forcing Donegal to sort of turn, and they weren't getting that sort of clear counter-attack. So that's probably a clear sort of plan that they had, to kind of slow Donegal's sort of pace down, and then that takes that away from their armoury. The thing about it, whenever they got them stopped, they were able to find the likes of McBrady on the loop. They were able to find, you know, key guys inside. They were able to clip the scores, you know, and against lesser oppositions, you know, maybe going into the playoffs, you know, against Roscommon and Galway, they won't have that quality inside to compete against, so it might be sort of more effective then. But, you know, it's one thing that maybe Armagh, they've got ahead of teams, and they maybe have an opportunity to sort of, you sort of invite other teams onto them, and you can't afford to invite a good side onto you, because they'll clip away at the scores. So I think that happened to a certain extent tonight. If they sort of maybe had a kept in the attack, which was as easy for for us to say that on the sideline. They put some effort into that, and you could see that they were getting tired towards the end. So, you know, you have to give them huge credit for the efforts that they put in. But I suppose it just shows you that the difference. You know, it's just that bit of composure at the right time that the top teams have in spades.
Yeah, huge effort, Charlie, and no doubt. Maybe we'll see you later on in the summer as the championship goes on. It doesn't seem likely, but possibly, but certainly very impressed with the direction that Armagh is going. Very unfortunate to be in this playoff, but having seen the other Southern games, certainly as you say, if it is Galway, Roscommon are there, I would be confident enough you'll stay up in the division after a 9-year absence.
Yeah, if we could get that sort of type of performance out, they'd definitely be hard to beat now. But I suppose it's just the challenge for Kieran McGeaney now and Donaghy and the boys is to just, they'd be disappointed tonight naturally, you know, but they just have to get their heads up and realise that there's serious improvement, you know, that we've seen. Like, if you look at the performance that they gave last year in the championship against Donegal compared to what we saw there tonight, like night and day, and they have to take great encouragement from that. They have to take the positives out of that.
Perfect, guys. Nice talking to you, Charlie. I'll see you in the future.
Yes, earlier, just hearing from Kieran McGeaney talking about being in the trenches. Well, a man you could always rely on to soldier with you. Back in my day, Buncrana and Donegal midfield star was Paul McGonigal. Of course, now part of Declan Bonner's management team, and he joins us this evening on the DL Debate. How are you, Paul?
Oh, good, Brennan. Thanks very much. Thank you.
The heart rate's come back down, Paul. I was just thinking about, you know, the unpredictability of sport is what the excitement is. But Donegal at the minute, Paul, I mean, talk about having us on edge. I mean, it's been some start to a cramped three-game season, but we've got... Well, initially, I suppose, what we wanted was stayed in the league. Not too sure about the semi-final, but just your thoughts on the team in the last few games and what lies ahead.
Yeah, it's been a bit probably too exciting even for us as well, Brendan, to be honest with you. But overall, no, it's been a very good campaign, considering, you know, the time frame that every team has, not just ourselves, obviously. But I think we got the best out of the three games. I think first count, we had about 26 players used across the matches, and we got what we wanted out of it, in all honesty. And so far as we're in the semi-final, we can focus now entirely on Down in the championship in a month's time, and that's really the best position we could be in. There's obviously plenty to work on, but ultimately we're in a very, very solid place at the same time, and with the opportunity now to get at that now from tomorrow night onwards. So it was good. It was hectic, and it was tough, and it was tough on the bodies over those, you know, pretty much 20 days, three intense games over 20 days. But it's worked out well. We're unbeaten, so we have to take the positives out of it. Obviously, as I said, there's plenty to work on, but we've given ourselves a good opportunity to do that now.
Yeah, but I was kind of looking at positives and negatives, and I've never seen such a swing kind of in Donegal in the last few years, because there's some huge positives and there's some massive negatives, and we all know what they are. Our ability to score up front and to come back into games has reached a new level. It seems to be going up and up. And then defensively, there's huge, huge frailties there. I mean, the first day out against Tyrone, I don't know if it was a respect thing between the two sides. Certainly we were still smarting a bit after, you know, the loss to Cavan. I thought that was a very controlled performance. We seemed to control the game. And then in the last two games, Paul, it's been up and down. You know, particularly when Armagh put up that defensive shield to us last night, you know, we seemed to, until the water break, and I guess you guys put it right, from the water break, they had us trapped under the perfect counter-attack. Then we left a few more players in the round the house and protected our defence and allowed us to grow into the game. But we were 5-1 down at that stage, so that was a tough start, Paul, but something to just write it on the line.
Yeah, I think the two games had a lot of similarities. Those first quarters that you mentioned, Brendan, and the key word that you mentioned as well is control. And even against Monaghan as well, I think in the first 14-15 minutes, I think we had five wide and a shot to drop short as well. And equally against Armagh, they did contain us very, very well in that first quarter, but we turned an awful lot of soft ball over at the same time, and they really punished us. I think four of the first five scores came directly from turnovers for ourselves. So And equally, we didn't take a couple of chances in that first quarter. You know, we did probably one good goal chance, and possibly two was Patrick's point that he scored as well, and we had a couple of missed free kicks and other opportunities. And when you're not taking those, you're building maybe a wee bit of pressure on yourself, but you're also giving that little bit of control to our man. In fairness, you know, it was a good system that they had there and a good structure that they had, and it probably took us that first 15-18 minutes to get to grips with it. And you're right, we did grow into it in the second quarter. We just missed out winning the second quarter with the last kick, again, from a turnover. So we just probably weren't functioning as well as we could up top, in all honesty, and maybe creating enough openings and supporting the players, maybe getting their width and depth that we prefer to get as well. But in fairness to the lads, they really went at it then in the second half, and that performance in the second half was brilliant. And they did really very much control the game, despite maybe a soft enough goal that we gave away. And obviously we relied a wee bit on the quality of Michael's goal, the individual quality of Michael's goal as well. But ultimately it was a really, really well controlled and disciplined performance in the second half that that probably put us in a position maybe even to nick it, as we could have done against Monaghan. But we recognised as well, or the lads recognised themselves at a few minutes out, that the draw was going to be enough for us, and put in a very, very well controlled second half performance, much different to the first quarter certainly, and the first half, Brendan. But that for me was the key issue. It was the start to the game more so than anything else, to give us a bit of a foothold and maybe a wee bit more control early stages. So we don't want to be finding ourselves in that situation too often, certainly when it comes to Championship football.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, Donegal, obviously we kicked 110 the second half, Paul, which was very encouraging. And as you said, McBertie's 8 points and some great cameos off the bench from certain players. Just thinking about the games, Paul and Michael Murphy, you know, that game that we talked about where we seemed to control it, obviously he played in, he picks up the injury. And whereas we don't like to lean too much on Michael, he certainly has at times even a subtle influence on our whole shape of our team. So it's that thing of being able to cope with that, because you're going to get injuries, but players were standing up. And as you mentioned, Michael Langan's goal, I mean, goal this season, he might have his own goal this season competition the way he's going. I mean, it was a phenomenal strike, and the way Patrick stepped up, and I thought even the likes of Conor O'Donnell coming off the bench, kicking those couple of points, Keelan Ward's fisted point just after their goal when they went 4 points up. So there's loads of players now beginning to step up with Michael not there, which is very important.
Absolutely, man, and we see that, you know, training night in, night out, and we've seen it over the course of the games, including the challenge game we had before the league, that the strength's very much there with the squad, and delighted to see the lads coming in and making the impact that they could, and even the fellas that didn't get game time the last day, I'm thinking of Eunan Doherty and Owen McFadden Ferry now back in the squad, and even Darrell Boyle. There's very, very little between a lot of those guys in terms of actually getting game time, but to see them going in and understanding the roles and, you know, applying themselves and showing leadership themselves, I thought Keelan Ward's performance was excellent, you know, from fielding kickouts to scoring a very important and difficult score with his fist as well, and obviously Connor coming in and offering what we see in training as well, which is just that dynamic role that he has and that ability that he has at both sides, and the speed and courage that he has to get himself in good positions. But we had that across the pitch, and, you know, Jason came in and did well for a season, got a bit more game time as well, and obviously Owen had a start the game, Neil had a pull out in the warm up, and Owen had a really good game until the injury in the second half. So the strength's there, the commitment's there, and the desire to be a part of it's there, and that's a critical component. And, you know, no more than missing Michael, we're missing Jamie there as well, and Oisin, and with a few other lads that are just on the periphery there now that are about to get back into the sessions again, including, you know, Paddy McGrath, Kieran Gillespie, and Jack McKelvey, and probably a couple of others that I can't think of off the top of my head. But no, it's strong there at the moment, and it is probably trying to develop a wee bit more consistency in what we're doing and a wee bit more control of those situations in those games as well. But ultimately, you know, we've always produced, Donegal has always produced the players, so really now it's just a matter of getting the performance levels, you know, consistent and a high standard across every game.
Yeah, and Paul, you just mentioned that you rounded up the injuries well there. I was just going to say, do you think, Paul, that's the way we've come back hard and fast now? It's such a difficult job to get up to speed for the league, kind of get into a Championship form, and marry that with rest and injury prevention. You know, we've a long list of injuries there. Do you think that is just the nature of coming back so quick and fast at this elite level?
Yeah, it is, Ben. There's no question. I mean, come back to our playing days, and even just a few years ago as well, where, you know, you had a good run into a league campaign, and, you know, between the McKenna Cup and Challenge games, you were really in a position where you were ready to start the league, and you could plan everything very effectively, whereas now you're at the mercy of the fixtures, really, and, you know, a few weeks of running to get guys up to speed, and ultimately then very, very intensive games. You know, normal circumstances we would have had maybe the three league games over the 3 weeks, but you'd have a week in between, then a week's break, and then maybe another three games post that, and even then you would have weeks running to the Championship, and they're just not there yet. And it's a huge amount to ask of any athletes, especially athletes at this level. But we also have to remember that most of the guys are getting up for work and going and putting a shift in every week as well. So they are, and it's a really, really difficult thing to ask. And look, the only solution to it for me was to go to have them in collective training maybe a month earlier. And we see it across the country now, the damage that it's doing to individuals. And it's very frustrating, you know, with Brendan, really, and from the players' perspective, they put so much into representing their counties across the whole country, and maybe they're not being afforded the level of respect that they should be in terms of the preparation, because unfortunately some lads are going to miss their championship season because of the constraints that's been placed on them on a physical level with the condensed season that we have, and that's very sad, you know, for those lads on an individual scale, and it's obviously not great for the teams as well. So, but from our own perspective, I mean, most of ours are soft tissues as well, and niggles and knocks, and it's just trying to manage those and trying to get them cleaned up to make sure that the lads, when they come back in, are in a position that they're not going to break down again. So that's up to the medical team and the rest of us in the S&C team to make sure that that's the case, and thankfully that's been managed really well.
Yeah, and listen, I know the setup there's first class, Paul, and the treatment the boys get, and just the fact that we were in the elite and we were taken off the elite. You're right, around obviously not games not starting, but the respect or obviously the cop on to know that if you're an elite level player, you've got to get back at a certain time to get ready. And as we see, and that's a huge injury, listen, as you say, luckily it's all soft tissues, but you know, we ask so much of our players in terms of lifestyle and that now, but this season is a tremendous ask. And as well as we know, we've done it all, Paul, driving, you know, driving the jobs and driving to work and whatever you're doing, and then to training, obviously, such a big county, people coming from all over, all those, you know, hamper, you know, recovery, and that puts more pressure on us. So a huge job to do there. Paul, you mentioned performances just previously. Performance of Maurice Deegan, was it? I've seen some people go mad on the line a few times. Now, you see where we were for the commentary box? It was a real tight sun coming across that evening sun. We were only getting bits and pieces, but I could see people getting animated by him. What did you think of his performance?
Do you know, there's been a few people have mentioned that to me since the game on Saturday, Brendan, to be honest. But I never really paid much attention to it during the game. I actually watched the game from behind the goals because I like that view from behind the goals, and plus the sun wasn't troubling me from there. But in all honesty, I never really paid too much attention to it. I thought we got one or two soft frees, scoreable frees, and I thought they did the same as well. But beyond that, it can sometimes be a little bit frustrating. But ultimately, you know, we can't control Maurice Deegan or any referee's performance, so we just have to get on with things. So it's not something that really was on my radar, to be honest with you. It never really bothered me, so in my view it couldn't have been too bad, you know what I mean? Maybe it's just that, you know, experience of being at these games now and the thought process of, well, sure, he can blow whenever he wants and we can't do anything about it, and like every other referee that I've ever seen anyway, they'll never change their mind, Brendan. So it's not something we occupy ourselves too much with.
Well, listen,
it's a good job as well.
I'm exactly the same as you. I never get it, because I've seen a few people giving off about it, and I thought there was a few decisions in it either way, but I always take that in the context of the game. And funny, you know, after the match, Kieran McGeaney was on about a couple of issues that he had with the ref, and of course that's always from your perspective. That's why I didn't think too much of it. There was a few things in there, and as you said, they should balance up over time. But I guess that's just sport. Paul, just looking ahead now to the next couple of weeks then, around championship training versus this semi-final with the Dubs, it's to be played at a neutral venue. You know, that could be somewhere like Breffni. We have good memories of Breffni, I think, as a senior team this last while. They're under-21s, don't they? They lost two big games there, semi-final and final, but... just getting prepared. You mentioned just an intro there, Paul, that it's all about the Ulster Championship now. So does that mean we are just going to take the Dubs as a pre Ulster Championship warm up game?
Well, it's still a semi final. It's a really curious situation. And again, maybe back to the point of the lads getting back and when they'll get back. I mean, to have a competition now that effectively, in many respects, can't be finished seems very, very unusual. I've never experienced it in any sporting context, that's for sure. So, you know, winning the game means I think we would share the National League, which, and you know, I've heard commentary like we don't win too many national titles, so it'd be lovely to be able to do that. But the curious thing is, you know, it's not been actually able to take part in a final, which seems very strange, Brendan. But you know, from our perspective, you know, it's going to be a great challenge, a great test. We're playing against the greatest team probably ever, you know, and unbeaten in 6 years of championship football is an incredible record. So one thing that it will definitely provide is an immense test for us and good experience for the squad as well. But our focus is entirely on the Down match in just over 3 weeks' time at this stage, and we'll use every opportunity and every session and every game that we have in between now and then to progress and make sure we're as well prepared as we possibly can be. And we're meeting later on today to discuss all of these matters as well. So we'll take it as we see it, you know, that type of way, Brendan.
And Paul, just finally,
the focus is on the championship.
Oh, less than 100%, Paul. So I guess just before I let you go there, Paul, the mindset, I suppose, going into the Dublin game is that anybody, as you said, that's any kind of risk or anything won't play, and you can then maybe get game time for a load of those lads, the likes of the lads come on and made the impact at the weekend. For them to play against the Dubs, it'll be huge experience. So there's a lot of value to be taken in the game without really worrying about the results. So in many ways, I thought initially the semi-final, we didn't want to be in there, we didn't need another game. But if we treat it as just preparation for Down, it could be a positive.
Oh no, absolutely, Brendan, that's exactly it. And I mean, we're going to need, and lads are going to need that experience and that exposure as well. And that's exactly how we'll be treating it, as you outlined there. So no, it's still a very, very important part of our calendar in the next 3+ weeks, and we'll be taking it very, very seriously, obviously, as well. But we will certainly be using it to our own advantages rather than, you know, it's a flip side, and it's a great benefit of being in this stage now where you're not forced and under the pressure of a relegation playoff. This is something now we can control and dictate how we use it. So that gives us that puts us in a great position, in all honesty.
Mighty stuff, Paul. The county's in safe hands. I keep up the good work and roll on now this semi-final, and I'll catch up with you there. And now we continue our coverage of Saturday evening's Ulster tussles. I mean, look across the province also for a quick roundup. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a man who always has his finger on the pulse. It is top sports correspondent, Deggy Bogue. Deggy, how are you this evening?
I'm very good, Brian. Yeah, thank you very much.
Great to hear from you, Deg. Thanks for coming on. Deg, just from an outside view, what have you made of Donegal in the league so far? Because I've been scratching my head, particularly, I mean, the Tyrone performance, you know, was, I think, controlled and what you'd expect from a Tyrone Donegal game. But since then, I mean, the Monaghan game and the Armagh game, we've mixed the good and the bad in both. And defensively, we've looked very threadbare at times and very open.
Yeah. Probably, and though some of that's down to you know your infantry or your personnel or whatever you want to call them. I mean, really, Donegal didn't need to be losing Neil McGee in the warm up. I mean, that was such a shock when it happened that everyone was kind of couldn't understand. So then that was a huge reshuffle. Whereas Padraig Mogan might be more offensively minded, like he actually did have to take a big role in defending. Stephen McManaman is a capable deputy and will probably be the long-term replacement at number three for Neil. But at the same time, if you got Neil McGee, you know, if you have him, you use him, and he's still going to be about one of the best fullbacks and always completely underrated. I mean, the way he completely neutralised Conor McKenna last year in the championship up in Ballybofey, didn't get half the credit. I know that he had to go off at half time, but sort of he had, if you want to call it, like he had softened him up at that stage, like for somebody else.
Which is a McGee 40, the softening up there.
Yeah, and like you've got Owen McFadden Ferry back into the panel, and like, you know, anyone that sort of has been looking at Donegal over the last number of years would say he and McManaman are key. So you can, Brendan McCall has shown up fairly well in the defence, I have to say. You're always going to have Ryan McHugh, you're going to have the qualities there. Paul Brennan's, you know, he's sort of a mixed bag at the moment. Like, you know, I mean, they're just missing maybe the dynamism of a Frank McGlynn, maybe at six. But in general, Donegal's defence is going to be key. And to have McManaman, McFadden, Ferry, McGee is sort of like critical to them this year. But I've been at two of the games now. And I watched the Monaghan game, and control is the exact word to use for the Tyrone game. But then you see, Donegal are just so much more composed when Michael Murphy's in the team. When he's not, it was a scramble to maybe spooked by Michael's early injury, and then spoke to the starter. Maybe Armagh just brought an unbelievable level of war, like in the first quarter. What was it? I'm just looking at the stats.
5-1
in the first quarter. Mm. But it doesn't go unnoticed by me that they scored 7 out of the last 9 points here in Armagh. Mm. It just goes to show, you know, like Armagh got a goal in the 56th minute. Mm. And what was it? And for the last 20 minutes, they could only get one more point. And Donegal, in that time, they scored the 7 out of the last 9. And McNeil is coming on. I thought he had a brilliant. I just thought he was at the heart of what was very good about them in the closing stages. I think they're in really good shape. I think mentally they've come out of really good road testing period where. And they lost nothing in drawing with teams either, because it sharpens them and, you know, will warn them against the kind of complacency that I'm sure that people will think that crept in for the Ulster final last year. So I think Donegal are looking very, very good. Mm. I'd be quite optimistic at them at the moment. I don't know what was the feeling in the county.
Yeah, I think obviously we talk about good teams being built on defence and that has a point of playing it. But I suppose, as you said, hadn't won 10 in the second half. I had that goal about 65 minutes, Dick. Maybe I'm wrong. The sun was in the eyes right enough, and there was all sorts going on in that commentary box between trying to figure out as the games wound down. But when Armagh went into a 4-point lead then, it looked like game over, and they probably just did sit on it naturally. But like, I often, you know, as long as we're going at games, it looked like Armagh, they certainly had a power and a strength advantage over Donegal. Why they didn't push that at times, I'm not too sure. They certainly did just sit back. You know, you think about the start of that game, they had Donegal all over the pitch. Now, of course, you can't keep that up all the time, but they did look very well set up and drilled. But there's just something about this Donegal team, and you talk about positives. You know, one of the huge ones is, I mean, we're down and out, 9 points to Monaghan, 6 points in the second half. We get a draw. And when that goal goes in, it, you know, if you were looking at that game, you think, right, this is an Armagh 1. You would have probably said maybe 90% Armagh 1. So phenomenal stuff to come back. Players coming off the bench. You mentioned O'Donnell coming on, kicking a couple of points, not expected. And Keenan Ward weighing in with one. But of course, McBertie was a top drawer as well. So there's players seem to step up for Donegal in patches. And probably at the end, they could have actually won the match.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not so sure whether Armagh wanted to, you know, drag themselves out. Like, Donegal were able to pass it around the back with Sean Patton and Orr McNeilis and Ray McHugh and so on were able to kill the clock. Afterwards, Paddy McBertie said that Ray McHugh got the message on through the team that, you know, a draw would do us here. So, but look, Armagh, you can hear Kieran Donaghy shouting at them to defend from their own 65. Mm. So they've got huge numbers back. And actually, Donegal actually found it a wee bit difficult to break down that puzzle. And that's Armagh with a sort of a second,
that's right,
not an entirely second choice defence, but certainly they could have been doing Ryan Kennedy and Aidan Farker and people like that back there. They actually, you know, don't take anything away from them. They have been building, and they have been adding to their squad. And I'm in the past might have been quite critical of Kieran McGeaney for his inability maybe to spot things in real time. Mm. But I'll give him credit for changing up the things in the back room. And people will say there'll be all sorts of versions of reasons of as to why people leave or how people come in. But bringing in Kieran Donaghy, people might say, well, he has no coaching experience. He has a hell of a lot of coaching experience in basketball. And what people might not recognise is there's so much coaching that goes on in the game of basketball by the better players on the court. Mm. And if Dublin are using it, and you can see the way they're using the width of the pitch like a court now and how to put ball into space, like, I mean, that is a fundamental understanding. And I think Armagh had that, where they're keeping everybody out of the middle in their attack. And then when the runners are coming, there'll be a ball over the top or a ball over a marker, and all of a sudden you're running into empty space. Mm. So I think in a lot of ways they can't be discounted. I would imagine Kieran Donaghy has brought an awful lot of tactical acumen to that setup. Mm. But at the same time, I still you put Michael Murphy into that team and Donegal are winning that game. They're not having much bother. I honestly think that they could have won us with a Michael Murphy in the team by 5 points. Might sound pretty extreme, but Michael Murphy's a pretty extreme guy.
It's a funny thing, like, you don't want to heap too much on him or disrespect the rest of the squad, but he just, you know.
Well, I don't mind. He's up there in Donegal, like saying, well, we can't put
fucking too much pressure on Michael. But because he plays everywhere, like, he's such an influence over everything and leadership and presence and all that. I mean, it's mad. Yeah. But you just talk about McGeaney there. You know, I spoke to him after the game. Very cool way with him. You know, it's almost like he's gone into some spiritual retreat, and is now like passing on just the good vibes. He talked about players, you know, letting them play and here you going, because I was saying Armagh went under their shell. He needed to, you know, be a bit more adventurous and go and win the game. But, you know, he's a very laid back demeanour with it all, you know, as if to say, just put things in their place and then let it flow, you know, very different from, I suppose, the player he would have been back in the day.
And you can't be that, you just cannot be that intense, see it on the line, that as if you think you're playing. Because I'll tell you what, it might work for a very limited short space of time, like, but you look at someone like a Davy Fitz, you know, the wear on the heart on the sleeve is grand if you're willing to go and just, you know, make this job your life and make the players your life and the most important people in your life. But after a while, like that, just ranting and raving and noise, it just completely... Kieran McGeaney wouldn't be in a job for 7 years if he was about ranting and raving. And I'll give him credit for a few different things. But most of all, I know Jamie Clark doesn't really remain part of the panel, but Jamie Clark had that issue, not saying it's an issue, but he had been going that way anyway with Cross McGlenn and with Armagh, is he wasn't prepared to commit year on year on year. And I think now, looking at them, with the pace they have at young Turbitt, Conor Turbitt, Ross McQuillan, Stephen Campbell has really taken over the mantle as the forward line leader. Oisin and Ray O'Neill, like, they have an outrageous forward line at the moment. But no one leaves the Armagh dressing room blasting Kieran McGeaney or criticising Kieran McGeaney or haven't heard his methods whatsoever criticised by any players who have been part of the setup and left it. So he engenders a serious amount of loyalty. But you don't get loyalty by ranting and raving all the time. Like, he clearly has looked out for them. I would know that anyway, and heard that the players are very much united behind them, and they have been doing what he has been telling them to do over the last number of years. And that's why you're seeing them extremely physically fit, strong looking. It's one thing to do it from the start of December and do it right through to the end of August or July when you leave the championship. But it's another thing to make it a year-long commitment to your S&C. And certainly, like, if you look at down through the years, say, in the early years of Kieran McGeaney being manager, themselves and Fermanagh were always on a level. They were in Division 3 together. They were in Division 2 together. They were just, like, I'm not saying they were neck and neck, because Armagh would have always had the advantage, like, in won tight games, draw tight games. But the Armagh players they stayed the course and they developed themselves physically, whereas, like, you know, in Fermanagh there's just a constant changing of the guard and players coming, players going, and that says a lot about Kieran McGeaney.
Yeah, need to get Dickie Bogue back to his homeboys and put the muscle on them. Just looking across the tournament, and you mentioned the forward line of Armagh. Bonahan coming into this championship, or coming into this league, sorry, championship to come, there were a lot of question marks about them and not unearthing players. And looking at them now, they have a new forward line, and it looks like it could cause a lot of problems. That said, it was more back to a normal Ulster kind of scoreline, 14 each with Tyrone. What did you make of that game on Saturday evening?
14, probably because just, again, there's a wee bit of experimenting going on too, like, you know, but it has to be said, I remember even just going back to Bonte being in Meath, that was, what, 2010, I think, and, like, a quote that he said was, in an interview with Speed Kills, as in, you know, you need pace around the pitch, but his point was that in Meath, it wasn't the pacey kind of players, so the way you're saying, speed kills, and especially if you don't have it, like, because they're getting put to the sword because of teams with pace. But if you look at the Bannigans, Young Mulligan, Stephen O'Hanlon, they're kind of diminutive, but they have so much speed all over the place coming now. And you know what? They're, for the last 10 years, they've been expecting something like Kieran Hughes to, you know, to turn up and be either Jekyll or Hyde, whichever is the useful one. Because Kieran's liable to be a very mixed bag. But
I would say Hyde would be more dangerous on a football pitch now.
We'll put it this way, like, in 2014, Kieran Hughes had some day on Neil McGee. Was it Eamon McGee or Neil McGee? Either way, he was sensational at Ulster final. And sometimes then you might get maybe the 2018 Ulster semi-final against Fermanagh, where he got a black card for a trip early on. Things like that kind of tended to happen to Kieran Hughes. They need him in a good place. They have been relying on Darren Hughes just crashing through tackles for many, many years. And he's in an age now where they need to, you know, keep him in the right to do it when it matters rather than just doing it out of habit. But they have so much pace, and they've got a good old kick passing game going on. And then you've got Conor McManus up top. And then just with the equalising point, like a man from just around the corner from me here in at McCloy, Ryan McInnesby was putting the Tyrone boys back in their box. Like, it's great to see.
Well, do you know, just looking at goal chances, there's so many goal chances there at the weekend, Dick. And we're looking at point scoring really going up, free taking really going up. That's one area now you think a lot of people can look at in terms of actually putting away chances, because I'm just seeing so many of them being missed. But just turning a quick word on Tyrone, like McCurry again in there, he just looks like he has so much talent. And I don't want to be down on the lad, but Championship, it hasn't really happened for him, you know. Obviously, Colm Cavanagh has left such a big hole in the team. Matty Donnelly seems to be in and out, the same with the likes of Peter Hart. I know Young Canavan and they've sprinkling talent, obviously McShane to come back, but up the middle, would you have issues with Tyrone? I mean, Monaghan looked like there almost could be a more dangerous team because of the pace around it than Tyrone this summer.
I think Tyrone are, of all teams, right, and I know that Tyrone have not done any whatsoever, any cheating the system or training. So what you've got is two new managers, a completely different view of how the game should be played, trying to get to know the players trying to get to know them. Like, so many new faces. I know that they're Tyrone men, they're all together, but like, Colly Holmes didn't coach these boys before. Joe McMahon didn't coach these boys. Peter Donnelly is the only link they had before. Peter Hart was like doing an attacking job because he was marking Jamar Hall. So Jamar would go anywhere in the previous game. But this time he was doing a man-marking job on Conor McCarthy. And you know what? I don't think I've ever heard tell or seen Peter Hart being expected to man-mark.
Yeah.
And you know, something else is, it's no harm. Like, you know, why not, like, actually just see what you can get out of boys when they've never been asked to do a role? You might say, well, you know, that's, you're throwing them into important league games, but they had no McKenna Cup to experiment. They had nothing. They don't, well, under Mickey Hart, they never played challenge matches, but that's been reversed now. Logan and Doher have played challenge matches.
Dick, just that we're
Matty Donnelly's right position, it just will. I like the look of him at six. He might be expected to play in the middle of the pitch more often. But there's just a certain few things I don't know.
A lot of tweaking, Dick. I suppose, Dick, a lot of tweaking. Dick, we're very low on time here, Dick. I'm just looking across, obviously Fermanagh drew with Longford at the weekend, and Cavan and Derry played out a cracking game. Derry just aging, and McGuigan looks to be such a player in form. Just from our Donegal perspective, looking across, Dick, can you just give us a quick word on Down? Are they playing some kind of game to suck us into a false sense of security pre this preliminary round in Ulster, because they haven't been going too well in this league?
I kind of think Paddy Talley might be a bit sick of it at this point, because he was kind of bemoaning in the post-match interviews that, you know, in Down, it's such an easy-come-easy-go thing right now, that players are there for a year or two and then walking off. Like, and you're looking around your shoulder at the old diehards, like Kevin McKiernan coming off the bench, and Young Corey Quinn shows a bit of promise up top. You've got the two Guinnesses carried off. Pierce Lowry, like, you know, you've got decent players there, but it's just not. They were unlucky to run into Mayo in the first game. Like, yeah, and that's in a bad tone.
I agree. Yeah, it was tough for them.
But I don't know. I don't know if there's a trap. I cannot see down having anything like the quality at the moment. I think they're just in a strange place, and I'm not sure that I think that Paddy Talley and the whole idea of breaking the COVID training ban just has kind of affected them greatly.
Yeah, good man. Dick, listen, first class. Listen, if we've anything to watch out for, it's probably their first half. They seem to play, put in big first half performances. If Donegal can weather that, they should come out on top. And listen, Dick, thanks so much. Run out of time there for joining us, and I'll see you around the grounds. Thanks, Dick. Right, folks, that's a wrap. Just looking at the calendar here, it's a bank holiday weekend, so no DL debate next week. We'll come back for a big clash between Dublin and Donegal, of course. I want to thank my guests this evening, Paul McGonigal, Declan Bogue, for the input of Kieran McGeaney and Charlie Vernon. I want to thank Kenneth here, as usual, for looking after me and producing the show, and the head of sport, Oisin Kelly. So I'll speak to you in 2 weeks' time. All the best. Enjoy the bank holiday weekend.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.